What we're going to be talking about throughout the Christmas season is the promise of God, because Christmas is really about a promise fulfilled. And though we're in the season of Advent, which is a time of waiting, we remember how the people so long ago waited for God's promise to be fulfilled, which happened when Jesus was born. And now we're celebrating that fulfilled promise in the birth of Christ our Redeemer, but also we are now in a period of waiting for Christ to come back and take us to be with Him. The kids in the picture are looking at the cookies. They're watching the cookies with their plates. Already they can't wait for those cookies to come out of the oven. Now we know in the cookies, if they were taken out before they were done, they really wouldn't be as good as when they're just right. But there they are, waiting in anticipation. I'd love to hear what they're saying, but notice the mother. The mother has assurance, doesn't she? She has assurance that the cookies are going to be just fine, because how many times has she baked cookies, or how many times has she been a little girl when her mother or father baked cookies and she waited for them just like these children? She has assurance that it's going to be okay, because the cookies were always okay before. And I think when I read Paul's writing to the Romans, that we rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Character produces hope. Personally, when I read that, I add to that, and hope produces assurance. Because our hope in Almighty God is a hope that gives us assurance. Because when we hope in God, God is faithful to His promises and faithful to His people and provides all that they need always. I remember as a young boy, somewhere between the ages of 5 and 10 years old, and when I thought about that last night as I went to sleep, I thought, wow, that was 45 to 50 years ago. I remember how my mother and my grandmother would go shopping in Williamsport. Thursday was their store day. Many of you can relate to this, when the old Grant's store and JCPenney was in downtown Williamsport. You go in the back of the stores, and there were the sewing departments, and they had the pattern books that you look through painfully, and the drawers with the patterns that you look through painfully, and all the fabrics. And my grandmother would go into them every single week. She'd go to the same ones, and she'd look at the pattern books, and she'd pick out a pattern that she wanted to make a new dress. She'd find the fabric that she wanted, and she'd find the pattern in the drawers. She wouldn't buy it. And I kept thinking, what are you waiting for? Why don't you just buy it, go home, and get started on it? But she waited. And every week, it was the same painful journey that my wife is just so intent on dragging me into still today as we go into the sewing stores. But I couldn't understand my grandmother's patience in waiting. As an adult now, I understand that she was waiting for everything to go on sale. And when it did, then she bought it. Because the joy for her was getting those things and then making the dress for herself, knowing that she was blessed, not having to pay full price for it. You see, waiting for her became an easy thing as we went along. And for me, I think the lesson in that I've learned is the importance of waiting also. You know, folks, it seems like we are destined to a life of waiting, doesn't it? We wait at the red lights. We wait for this to come in the mail and that to come in the mail. We're waiting and waiting, waiting, constantly waiting. People are in a hurry, and the more we get in a hurry, it seems like the more we have to wait. The other night when we went to the grocery store, I saw so many people that were so impatient, and they just couldn't wait as carts were passing by in the aisles, and they were trying to pass and go around, and unfortunately, the devil came out of me, and I actually put my hand out, and I said to the one lady, wait. Just be patient. And then I motioned for another lady to go by first. But we're destined to a life of patience, and sometimes it seems so painful waiting for these things. Why can't the light turn green? How long, O Lord, will you make us wait forever? Will you forget me forever, as the psalmist said in Psalm 13? How don't we? We get so frustrated because we have to wait. When we think of the Scriptures, it's a story from beginning to end of humanity waiting. You know, but what are we waiting for? We see in Genesis that God promised to put enmity between the seed, the offspring of the woman, and the offspring of the serpent, or Satan, right? Promising that God would send someone, whom we come to know as Jesus, to make a way for us that our sins can be forgiven and we can be cleansed. Why didn't God just do it right then? Why didn't God just send Jesus right then? Why didn't God just clean up the mess right then? That's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. I want you to understand first, when Paul wrote to the Ephesians, here Paul is writing to the Ephesians, the believers in Ephesus, in an Asia Minor, shortly after the resurrection of Jesus. And what's he doing? He's praising God. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Praise be to God for Jesus. Because our blessings come through Jesus. And our blessings just aren't earthly. They are heavenly blessings. Every spiritual blessing in Christ. Praise be to God. Why? He chose us before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. He predestined us to be adopted as sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with His pleasure and will. What Paul is saying is that before the earth was created, God already had a plan of salvation in order. And it's a whole another sermon or sermon series on why God allowed Satan in the garden to begin with and all that. But I want you to think about this. God's plan of salvation for you and I existed long before the earth was created. And He's praising God for that. See? That we're adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ, which meant we weren't His children at one point. But through Jesus Christ and believing in Jesus, we become His adopted children. And that gave God pleasure. And that was His will. And that was His grace that He's freely given us in Jesus Christ. And look what He says. In Christ, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that He lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. In other words, God extended this great gift of grace in Jesus Christ to us. God understood that we weren't going to be perfect on this earth. God understands that we cannot be blameless without Christ. God understands the struggles that we're going through and we're going to go through even before the earth was created. He understood that, you see. But He still implemented this plan of salvation. And what's greater, yet He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His good pleasure which He purposed in Christ. In other words, it isn't a mystery anymore. He made it known to us, He made it evident to us by Jesus in the manger. Living, breathing, the physical manifestation of the fulfillment of His plan and promise, which was to be put into effect when the times have reached their fulfillment, and to bring all things in heaven and earth together under one head, and that was Christ. In other words, when God's judgment comes, and it will come because God's promised, when that time comes, there will be one thing by which we will be judged, and that will be Jesus Christ. You see, when people say there are many roads to heaven, that's not biblical, okay? That there's going to be one thing we're judged by, and that's Jesus Christ, not by how good we were or what we did or how we treated someone, but by Jesus Christ. And everybody's going to be brought to that one head. You know why that is? It's because when you have truth, truth is based on one thing that is true. It cannot be true if it's based on several things, because many things can't be true. Many different religions can't be true at the same time. Many gods can't be true at the same time. There has to be one, or it's no longer true. Because then somebody says, well, it might be true to you, but it's not true to me. Then it's no longer truth, see? There has to be one thing by which we're judged. and that's Jesus Christ. Now, thousands of years had happened between this time that Paul said, "Praise be to God for providing these blessings for us in Jesus Christ and salvation through Christ." People had to wait thousands of years, right? Thousands of years. But the Bible shows us that waiting makes sense because God is omnipotent. God's promises are based on His omnipotence, meaning His almighty eternal power. All right, and I want you to think about that this morning. That's important that God's promises, we talked last week about the promise is only good as the promise maker. Because God is all powerful, He can make promises like He does in the Bible. See? And it makes sense to wait on God because He's omnipotent. He was, and He provided Jesus in the manger, and He's all powerful, and He's going to provide all things for you and I until the coming again of Christ. And we can trust that Christ is going to come again because God promised through Jesus that He would come again. Whether we're dead or alive, we're going to go up to meet the Lord in the air. Think of all the things that God had to put in place before the fulfillment of His promise of Jesus Christ. Think of how God put all those things in place, all those people in place. And He didn't wait till the earth was created to do it and move them around like chess pieces. He had it all planned out before the earth was created, Paul says in Ephesians. Think of all the stories along the way that we read, the miracles and the blessings. Why? Because along the way it shows us of God's great power, His protection, and most of all His faithfulness to His promises. Hopefully to encourage you and I through our journey, through our book, through our stories. Think of all the things that God has put in place to make a way for you and I to be with Him in glory. Think about all the things God has put in place for you and I to be with Him in glory. Okay? If God wasn't faithful and His promises weren't true, Noah would have drowned. If Noah would have drowned, there would have been no Abraham. If Abraham would not have existed, there would have been no Moses, and God's people would have been held in captivity for God knows how long. In Egypt. If God's promises weren't true, Goliath would have killed David in an instant. In fact, David wouldn't have even come along, so to speak. If God's promises weren't true, God's people would have been captive in Babylon for more years than 70. They would not have been returned to their homeland, their temple wouldn't have been restored. If God's promises weren't true, then as Isaiah said, that unto us a child is born, Jesus never would have been born. And yet so many today reject God's power and His path. They reject His promise, His omnipotence, and the way that He's provided for us to have salvation. Many say, well, I'm going to wait. And I say, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? Some say, well, I'm waiting for my luck to change. Your luck's never going to change because luck doesn't save anybody. Others say, well, I'm waiting for my ship to come in. I'm praying that my ship will come in. That's not how it works. Because God's already provided a ship for us, and His name is Jesus, and until we get on that ship, we're not going to be saved. Others think, well, it's a good, bad thing, a yin and a yang, a karma thing, and I'm just waiting for all that to even out. It's never going to happen, because there again, that's not the way God works. That's not faith. That's not trust in God. Others say, well, I'm a positive thinker. And if I think positively, things are going to work out in the end. Well, folks, you can positively think wrong, too, and put your trust and hope in the wrong things. Others say, well, I need more time. I'm so busy now, I just don't have the time to give to God, to consider this Jesus thing, and, and I just need more time to relax so I can think about it a little bit more. And I think, well, you may not have more time. Jesus might come in 5 minutes. What are you waiting for? What are people waiting for? When I start thinking about all this and started, we don't have enough time to talk about all the promises in the Bible. After the day of Pentecost, the people heard the great sermon by Peter, and they said, they were cut to the heart. They said, "What shall we do?" Peter said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all who call on, for all whom the Lord our God will call." The promise is for them. In other words, you didn't have to be a Jew. It's for everybody. The promise is laid out there for everybody. Let's see. In Romans chapter 4, we learn about the Abrahamic covenant. And that's what God, that's what a promise is in the Bible. It's a covenant. In Romans chapter 4, Paul says, "It was not through the law that Abraham and his offspring received the promise that he would be heir of the world, but it was through the righteousness that comes by faith. For if those who live by the law are heirs, then faith has no value and the promise is worthless." You see, God makes a promise to us and we have to have faith that it's going to come true, because if we don't, if we think it's going to come true because we're good people living good good lives and so forth, that's not faith, and the promise isn't true. It's worthless. He says, "The law brings wrath. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace." You see, when we fail to trust God and believe His promises, we actually rob Him of His grace. Actually, we erase His grace when we start believing like that, thinking it's all about us. We can do this. I can be that person God wants me to be. The promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace, and may be guaranteed to all of Abraham's offspring, not only to those who are of the law, meaning the Jews' offspring physically, but to those who are of the faith. He's the father of us all. You see, we become children of Abraham by faith in the promise. The Bible tells us that Abraham believed God, and it was credited unto him as righteousness. He believed the promise of God. Okay? Believe the promise of God. In Romans chapter 9, Paul goes on to say in verse 6, "It's not through God's word, it's not though God's word has failed." People say, "Well, if God's promises are true, why isn't He answering my prayers? Why do I have to live the kind of life I'm living?" That's probably what the kids are thinking, looking at the cookies. Why do we have to wait? Why do we have to wait so long? We can smell them. They're good. Why do we have to wait? Can we take them out yet, Mom? Are they done yet, Mom? No, they're not. You have to wait. "It's not though God's word has failed, for not all who are descended from Israel are Israel, nor because they're His descendants are they all Abraham's children. On the contrary, it's through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." In other words, it's not the natural children who are God's children. It's the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. "For this was how the promise was stated, at the appointed time I will return and Sarah will have a son." Children of the promise are people who believe God and believe the promises of God, you see. In Galatians, Paul wrote, "Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. He redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit." Okay? How? By faith, by trusting. And in Ephesians, as we turn back there, we're talking about the promise being a covenant. In Ephesians chapter 2. "Therefore remember that formerly you who were Gentiles by birth and called the uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision," meaning the Jews, "remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise. You were without hope, without God in the world, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near through the blood of Christ. Why? Because of God promised that if we believe Him about Jesus Christ and who He is and what He's done for us and how our sins are forgiven and we're going to be redeemed and have eternal life with Almighty God forever, we become children of the promise by believing. So we today look forward with hope. And hope doesn't disappoint us. 2 Peter chapter 3 says that the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. And that's, God promised that in the Old Testament. God said that's going to happen. Okay? So we say, well, is it going to happen? Well, I don't really know. God's got a love. He's not going to destroy everything. But He promised He's going to. Because He's a just God. He's going to get rid of all evil, see? So we have to trust it. Because it's a promise of God, just like the birth of Jesus. The day of the Lord will come like a thief. The earth and everything in it will be laid bare. And since everything will be destroyed, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire and the elements will melt in the heat. But in keeping with His promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. And you say, what's this have to do with Christmas? It has everything to do with Christmas. Has everything to do with waiting on cookies. The children are waiting on something yet to come. The mother is waiting patiently with assurance because she knows as that something has already come, it's going to come again. And that's the hope of the Christian today. That as Christmas came and God fulfilled that promise, we see a faithful God who from cover to cover has fulfilled His promises. And as we watch time go on, promises continue to be fulfilled. And we can say, why do I believe? Because God promised me. That's why I believe. What are we waiting for? We're waiting for our luck to change, for our ship to come in, for the planets to be aligned, maybe. Maybe that if I think positively about this, it'll all work out. What are we waiting for? In a few days, we'll be actually celebrating formally Christmas Day. But you know, folks, Christmas isn't just one day for the Christian. It's every single day because when we look back and see how faithful God was in providing Jesus, and that's what it's all about, fulfillment of prophecy, a faithful God, a God who revealed that mystery to us, like Paul said to the Ephesians, it's not a mystery to us anymore. God did it, and a God who says to us today, my son's coming back, he's going to come back to set up his kingdom. What had you ought to do, you ought to believe. Because it's my promise, first of all. And you ought to live like you believe. And you ought to trust because there's a day coming when the cookies are going to come out of the oven. And oh, how delicious it's going to be. How wonderful it's going to be when that time has been fulfilled. And how can we trust that? Because we're like the mother in the picture. We have assurance that our faithful God, who has fulfilled His promises all throughout history, will continue to fulfill His promises today and tomorrow and in our future and eternally. And we say, why is He making us wait? Because if we didn't, we'd be spoiled and we wouldn't rely on Him. We'd turn away from Him if everything was given to us like a spoiled child. Let's see. Suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance produces character. Maybe you're like me. I used to say to my mom, I've got enough character. I don't need any more character. You see. And character produces hope. And hope doesn't disappoint us. Because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. And that hope produces assurance. Well, I pray today as you leave here, you leave with a special appreciation for Christmas and then how a God who created the heavens and the earth so long ago, before you and I were, as my grandmother used to say, before we were even in the peanut shell, He knew you and He knows you and He'll know you forever, you see. And as we read His Word, we get to know Him and we get to understand that if there's one thing in this world we can believe in, it's a faithful God who's faithful to His promises. Christmas is a time of faithfulness of our God who has fulfilled His promise to provide that one who can redeem us from original sin and bring us into His kingdom of righteousness, which He promises is coming. Let's pray. Our Lord and God, as we come to understand